In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the third Sunday in a row that we read a discourse on the bread of life. As some have said, we Episcopalians are what we eat. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, says Jesus, and I will raise him up on the last day. Though we tend to identify eternal life as the promised reward following death, in John, it begins in this life as a gift from Jesus. Eternal life in John is a present possession that reaches its fulfillment in total abiding with God. It is the life of faith, a kind of quality of life that those who follow Jesus will lead. And people of faith participate in this life that is sustained by eating Jesus' flesh and blood. Today, I'd like to share with you one such life of faith, one follower who truly got the message as the priest placed a piece of bread in her mouth and she tasted the intimacy of God. Sarah Miles writes of her conversion of faith in her stunning book, Take This Bread. These are her words. One early cloudy morning when I was 46, I walked into a church, ate a piece of bread, took a sip of wine. A routine Sunday activity for tens of millions of Americans, except that up until that moment, I had led a thoroughly secular life, at best indifferent to religion, and more often appalled by its fundamentalist crusades. This was my first communion. It changed everything. Eating Jesus as I did that day, to my great astonishment, led me against all my expectations of a faith I had scorned and work I had never imagined. The mysterious sacrament turned out to be not a symbolic wafer, but actually food, indeed, the bread of life. In that shocking moment of communion, filled with a deep desire to reach for and become a part of a body, I realized that what I'd been doing with my life all along was what I was meant to do, feed people. And so I did. I took communion, I passed the bread to others, and then I kept going, compelled to find new ways to share what I had experienced. I started a food pantry and gave away literally tons of fruits and vegetables and cereal around the same altar where I had first received the body of Christ. I organized new pantries all over the city to provide hundreds and hundreds of hungry families with free groceries each week. Without committees or meetings or even an official telephone number, I recruited scores of volunteers and raised thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. My new vocation didn't turn out to be as simple as going to church on Sundays, folding my hands in the pews, and declaring myself saved. Nor did my volunteer church work mean talking kindly to poor folks and handing them an occasional sandwich from a sanctified distance. I had to trudge in the rain through housing projects, sit on a curb wiping the runny nose of a psychotic man, stick a battered woman's magnum in a cookie tin in the trunk of my car. I had to struggle with my atheist family, my doubting friends, and the prejudices and traditions of my newfound church. I met thieves and child abusers, millionaires, day laborers, politician gangsters, and bishops. all blown into my life through the restless power of a call to feed people, widening what I thought of as my community in ways that were exhilarating, confusing, and often very scary. I stumbled into a radically inclusive faith centered on sacraments and action. What I found wasn't angels or going to church or trying to be good in pious, idealized ways. It wasn't about arguing a doctrine, the virgin birth, predestination, or pledging blind allegiance to a denomination. I was, as the prophet said, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. I found it at the eternal and material core of Christianity. Body, blood, bread, wine, poured out freely, shared by all. I discovered a religion rooted in the most ordinary yet subversive practice, a dinner table where everyone is welcome, where the despised and the outcast are actually honored. So Holy Communion knocked me upside down and forced me to deal with the impossible reality of God and into a new life centered on feeding strangers, food and bodies transformed. I wound up not in what church people call a community of believers, but in something much wider than I'd ever expected. I ended up in the suffering, fractious, unboundaried body of Christ. Now, it may seem crazy to assert that any religion, much less Christianity, can be a force for connection, for healing, or for love. It may be deluded to assert that people can still be fed with this ordinary yet mystical bread. But this is my belief. At the heart of Christianity is a power that continues to speak to and transform us every single time we come to this altar. As I found to my surprise and alarm, it could even speak to me. What I hear and continue to hear is a voice that can crack religious and political convictions wide open, that advocates for the least qualified, least official, and least likely. It proclaims against reason that the hungry be fed, that those cast down will be raised up, and that all things, including my own failures, are being made new. It offers food without exception to the worthy and the unworthy, the screwed up and the pious. And then it commands everyone to do the same. It doesn't promise to solve or erase suffering, but to transform it, pledging that by loving one another, even through pain, we will find more about life. And it insists by opening ourselves to strangers, the despised or frightened, we will see more and more of the holy, since without exception, all people are one body, God's body. Sarah Miles has shared with others her story of faith as witnessed through the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. In a few moments, we will all be invited to experience again God's present gift of himself to us. We are all welcome to come. Just as Sarah Miles was that first day, she held open her hands to receive. It matters not your theology, your belief, or your unbelief, your doubts, or your faith. What matters is that you keep coming, that you open your hands and your hearts to receive the gift of God. And as our psalmist writes today, come, come, come taste and see the goodness of our Lord. Amen.